Welcome to Painting the Midnight Oil Podcast with your host, Dan Oils.
So until about 15 minutes ago, I thought that I was going to record two more episodes for season two. That would have put me at a nice even 20. But I realized that in thinking about what I was going to talk about today, I knew of one major topic, but I realized that it wasn't going to take the entire length of a traditional episode. And so I was like, well, what else can I talk about? But then I realized that it was better to spend some time setting up this latest pursuit of mine. And then in order to better understand my thought process and to why I'm pursuing this potential opportunity, I needed to kind of reflect on the last year of podcasting and maybe the last 2 years of painting, so you better understand why I've decided to pursue this potential opportunity. You know, it's pretty crazy that, you know, it's the end of October. My 1 year anniversary of podcasting is coming up. It's almost exactly 2 months from now. And my 2 year anniversary of painting is in roughly 3 months. And I was kind of hoping to have the last episode of season two coincide with one of those two anniversaries, but you know, it's important for me to be consistent with these episodes and provide something every week, at least while the season is active. And it's just time to kind of step away for a little bit. You know, I've been looking at my notes app, and I really am down to one last major topic, which I'm going to cover today. And I have a couple trips coming up. I'm going to Pittsburgh soon. I'm going to North Carolina soon with my wife and my brother. And so there's going to be a lot to talk about. I'm going to be waiting on the results of my latest pursuit here in the next month or so. And I have some changes that I'm going to make to the podcast, and I'm not sure exactly when that's going to happen, but there's just a lot that I have on the horizon, but we're just not there yet. So I feel like it's a really good time to kind of step away for a little bit. But hopefully this podcast has been helpful, and hopefully this has been either an escape from just the day-to-day mundane or the day-to-day stress. Hopefully it's been a source of inspiration or just entertainment. Whatever the reason is for listening, I hope that I've been able to provide something of value to you, and I can't tell you how much I appreciate you listening. It's really difficult to put into words, but you know, the idea that you're willing to spend some time with me and listen to what I have to say, I can't tell you how much that means. And this is such a fun, fulfilling expression that is similar and different than painting, but it honestly might be my favorite form of expression. You know, I as I mentioned to you before, I was an aspiring writer briefly, and so I'm able to kind of fulfill that dream through this podcast. So, you know, even if no one listened, I think I'd still be in here recording because it's just such a therapeutic and cathartic outlet for me. And that's one of the big takeaways that I've had for this first season. And I think that sometimes I can be hypocritical in this podcast. And I mentioned in the last episode that sometimes I can kind of beat myself up on Monday or Sunday after I'm reflecting on what I've said. And I think sometimes I've been hypocritical where, you know what, the big takeaways last season, the last episode of season one, was I was questioning why I was so worked up and so focused on like the social media numbers and the follows and the likes and the podcast downloads and the website hits or the website visitors. And I think that I'll always be torn on that. And I think I'll always kind of sound hypocritical on that because I don't want that to matter. I want to be completely free from that, but I'm not. I'm not, and I'm not because that I need validation from anyone else. One, I love the idea whenever someone listens to this podcast. That is very fulfilling. I love the idea when someone finds value or intrigue with my art. So that does make me feel better about myself. It makes me feel like I have a purpose. It makes me feel fulfilled. But I also have to understand that if my goal is to do this full time, then at some point I do have to have those numbers. I do have to have, you know, a really high number of people that listen to this every single week or consistently. I do have to have a lot of people that go to my website and purchase prints I do have to have that qualitative data. I'm sorry, the quantitative data. I do have to have the quantitative data. So it's difficult to separate myself from that. On one hand, I don't want to think about it. It doesn't matter. But on the other hand, if I really am serious about achieving those goals, then I do have to hit those targets. And the reason why that goal matters to me so much is I've never really explained this, but you know, my wife gave me this gift of oil painting. She threw her birthday present for my 38th birthday almost 2 years ago. I was able to discover this passion, and it's been a passion that I've really been obsessed with for the last 2 years, and it's brought me a lot of joy and fulfillment. And I've tried to use my passion and whatever perceived talent or skill that I have to create artwork that improves your life in some way, and that hopefully brings people together under a shared interest. But it's my ultimate goal to return that favor. And it's my ultimate goal to make this a full-time job. I use that term job loosely. Just to make this full-time, to make this a legitimate source of income so my wife doesn't have to work anymore. And I can focus my full attention on podcasting and art so I can paint during the day. For me, that's like the ultimate goal. To be able to consistently paint during the day. That tells me that I've made it. Because if I'm painting during the day, then that means that this was a full-time operation. That this was my primary source of income, and my wife can live a more carefree life, and I can spend more time with her and my family, and I can give her everything that she's basically given me through those initial lessons. And that way I don't have to, you know, come in here at 9 o'clock at night and grind away, because this is the only opportunity that I have right now. So far, I'm kind of torn, because like so far in these last 2 years, there's been a lot of success and a lot of achievements, and I'm very grateful for those achievements. But I also understand that in order to achieve that goal, I still have a long ways to go. And so it's been that balancing act too of understanding that yes, I am grateful, I'm very thankful and appreciative of everything that I've been able to accomplish, of every single person that listens to this podcast, and every single time that I've been able to, you know, share my artwork with other people. But I also understand that, you know, it's been disappointing, that there have been some initial goals that I just haven't been able to achieve. And the biggest disappointment, like I've mentioned many times before, is just really struggling to build any sort of local following. And that can be frustrating, because it's like, man, like, what is it going to take? You know, if I have artwork in New York City, if I'm throwing out the first pitch at the local, baseball field, it's no longer a minor league affiliate of the Orioles, but if I'm throwing out the first pitch at a Keys game and they're announcing my name over the, you know, PA system, and I have my artwork in New York City, and I have my artwork in a couple local restaurants, and I have my website on my license plate holder, and I have my Instagram on my car, and I'm doing all these things to try and market myself and like create a presence here locally, and nothing is working, then after 2 years of that, even though to 2 years that might not seem like a lot of time for a lot of people, you know, it's a long time for me. And when you're trying to dedicate every single day, you're thinking about what else can I do? What else can I do? How can I, you know, build this sense of community? How can I reach out to other people? How can I improve my, I don't want to say brand necessarily, but like, how can I bridge that gap? And nothing you're trying is working here locally. At a certain point, you have to step outside that local area. And at a certain point, you have to realize that, you know, maybe it's just not meant to be here. You know, one of my big ideas was, just a month ago, I was planning on participating in the Streets. And In the Streets is an annual day-long festival in downtown Frederick, where I live. And they literally shut down the main street here that we have, Market Street, and some of the surrounding streets. And there's vendors and thousands of people. And I was like, you know what, that's the best way to build community and meet my community and really try and spread the word about what I'm doing. And I already had an event in Gaithersburg, and that was exciting. That was fun, but it didn't really generate any momentum that I felt was necessary. But this was going to be the perfect opportunity to be just out in the public view in front of thousands and thousands of people. And so last year I reached out to the people that were in charge of that festival, and I was like, look, I'd really like to participate. And they said, that's great. We'll contact you. They gave me all the prices and all the different dimensions of the space, and just never heard back from them. And I just completely forgot because I was so busy with doing other things. And it was just like, you know what, maybe this isn't supposed to be it, I don't think. It's just I'm not feeling any warmth here. I'm not feeling any reception here. And so I've given it 2 years of my best effort, and I've decided that I just need to step outside this immediate area, at least for right now, and really focus on even outside of Maryland, because I really haven't been able to generate any buzz, not only within my town that I've been living in for the last 12 years, but really within the state that I've lived my entire life. So I started to think about, like, I have two, in like the last 2 years, there's like two major problems that I've been able to identify. And one is the necessary buzz that is required to get to where I want to go. And number two is time. I don't have a lot of time to do what I really love to do, and that's to paint. So I was like, well, how can I figure out a solution that solves those two problems, that grants me an opportunity outside of where I currently live, that's able to hopefully propel my art career, and how can I find more time to paint? So I don't even remember exactly how I started to research this, or even if I even knew of this specific term, but I somehow came across this idea of art residencies. And an art residency is basically a program that you can apply for, and there's different types of art residencies all over the country and all over the world. But essentially they are programs that are reliant on boosters or volunteers, you know, some sort of financial assistance, some sort of financial support, some sort of donor that is able to provide pretty substantial financial gifts. And you obviously need a place for these residencies. And so artists apply for these residencies. They stay on site, they stay on campus, and they paint, or they, whatever their art medium is, they have uninterrupted time for usually a minimum for 2 weeks up to months at a time. And I was like, man, that's perfect. You know, it's a way to kind of get out of my comfort zone. It's a way to get out of this initial town and state to see what else is out there, just for a new experience. But it also would be nice to have that verification, just to kind of know that my work can be appreciated. My work is valued by other people, and it gives me the confidence that I'm on the right track in some way. Now, with that being said, one of the biggest realizations that I've come to lately, one of the biggest realizations of season two, is that I've realized, and this is one of the benefits of experiencing such a lack of response, I've realized that's been a very beneficial and beautiful thing. And honestly, I think that for every artist should go through that. And I'll tell you why. Now, I will admit that initially, and still to this day a little bit, it still bothers me a little bit, and I still kind of wish that it was different. But I realized how much it grounded me and how much it stabilized me, for one. Because as I was going through this earlier on, and as I was having all these aspirations and dreams, I was just like, every single day that I didn't get that, I was like stressing out about it. Or I was like, what else can I do? What else can I do? Why isn't it working? And it's a really unhealthy way to live your life, number one. But it also makes you realize that you just have to be just confident in what you're doing. Because at a certain point, I was just numb to it. At a certain point, I was like, all right, well, I gave this my best and no one cared, really. I gave this so much effort and so much time and so much thought and nobody cared. So why? It eliminates any fear that you have as an artist, because if you feel like no one cares, then you have nothing to lose. no one's going to judge you. No one's going to say anything about what you're doing because you just go out there and you're like, oh, it doesn't matter anymore. It doesn't matter because no one's going to like this. No one's going to buy it. So I might as well just create whatever I authentically can create. It encourages you also to just take your imagination as far as you can and to stretch those boundaries in the hopes that you can grab someone's attention one day. Because it's like, all right, well, this isn't working, so let me do this. Let me do that. And it becomes really fun. It becomes a very freeing exercise. And that's been just the absolute best realization. And regardless if I ever hit those goals, regardless if I ever become a full-time artist, I can't tell you how satisfying it is knowing that when I come in here, at the end of the day, nothing's going to stop me from creating what I want to create. And I hope I never lose that. I hope that, you know, if one day I do become, you know, very well known and I do become a full-time artist, I really hope that I never lose that thought, that I never lose that feeling and that desire to just paint whatever I want to paint. And I think that sometimes as artists, that can be difficult because you start to develop a following and then your following has certain expectations about what you're supposed to create and what you're supposed to produce. And I hope I just can always reflect back on this podcast and this realization and say that no matter what, I hope I never lose that freedom and that fearlessness to explore and produce whatever I feel needs to be seen, whatever I feel needs to be produced. And it's very difficult to get there unless you fall down, unless you experience a very low turnout. And it toughens you up mentally, and it just gives you this kind of laissez-faire attitude. And that's incredibly important to have as an artist, where you just feel free and you feel loose to create whatever you want to create and have that confidence knowing that it doesn't matter what anyone thinks about it. And to let go of the expectations that other people have of you and to produce whatever feels right. I decided, you know what? Even though I haven't had a following here locally, I'm still going to go after this. I have nothing to lose. And if my goal is to someday be a really well-known artist and to make an impact, a substantial or significant impact within this community and be well-known and be able to do this full-time, I'm going to have to be considered one of the best. So in order to be considered on that level, I have to compete with other people that are at that level. And so I decided to apply for two residencies that are very exclusive. You know, on one hand, it's like, why would I ever do that? Because I can't even build a following here locally. What makes me think that I can get into a prestigious and exclusive art residency that attracts thousands of applicants every single year? Well, I love that. I love that challenge. I love to see where I stand. Quite honestly, I've had much better success outside of where I live, so I figured, why not? You know, maybe I'm accepted. Okay, that's best case scenario. If I'm not accepted, then, you know, at least I gave it a shot. At least I know. And so there's two residencies that I've applied for, and the first one is McDowell. McDowell is one of the most exclusive and prestigious art residencies in the world. And it's in New Hampshire. And they receive over 4,000 applicants a year. And they accept about one in every 20 applicants. And I'm one of those applicants. And who knows? Maybe I'm in like the first wave of rejections or maybe I'll make it. I don't know. But I'm going to give it a shot. And so I filled up my application about a month ago. I received a confirmation email already, and I'm supposed to hear back by the end of November. Now, a little bit about this McDowell residency, so you better understand what I'm talking about. So McDowell's mission is to nurture the arts by offering talented individuals an inspiring residential environment in which to produce enduring works of the creative imagination. So the second art residency that I applied to is the Boghossian Foundation, and this is in Brussels, Belgium. This is also from their website. So it says, the Boghossian Foundation residency seeks to welcome artists from all backgrounds at the Villa Ampon. The former housekeeper's building in the garden, restored and opened in 2010, offers a calm time and place for artists to develop their practice, all the while drawing inspiration from a dynamic cultural environment. Faithful to its mission of promoting dialogue between Eastern and Western cultures, the foundation encourages exchanges with the Middle East. Each year, the award winners of the prize of the Boghossian Foundation in Lebanon are invited to stay at the villa. Three Armenian artists are also welcomed annually in collaboration with Creative Armenia. As a laboratory for ideas and contemporary creation, the residence is a place of sharing and of international encounters between artists, curators, writers, and scientists. And it goes on about like the specific details about, you know, requirements, application deadlines, the length of stay. Now this one is, you know, it mostly caters to, you know, international audience. There have been representatives from the United States every single year, just like one or two. So the competition's obviously very steep for that one as well. And with the Boghossian Foundation Art Residency Program, the minimum is 2 to 3 months, which even if I was accepted, I don't know if I'd be able to do that. And I honestly overlooked the minimum stay. But I was talking to my wife and she was like, I feel like if you get that, you have to go. So we'll see. But, you know, I've always been one to just like shoot for those really big dreams because honestly, it's exciting. If nothing else, it gives you peace of mind knowing that you did your best, that you tried to pursue these lofty goals. If it doesn't work out, there's no harm. You know, you understand that, all right, well, I'm just not there yet. So I have to keep on going. I have to keep on trying. I have to develop my skills. I have to continue to practice. And if you do get in, then obviously there are some benefits to that. And it's just another thing that I can use to help propel my art career. But it's arguably the biggest pursuit that I've undertaken. And I'm excited. I'm excited to see, you know, where I stand. And, you know, regardless, again, I've been very pleased with my progress over these last 2 years. I've been very proud of my consistent effort. You know, we're approaching almost 40 episodes in 1 year. I don't even know how many paintings I've had in the last 2 years. It's kind of slowed down because these canvases have exponentially increased and the amount of time that it takes to finish these larger canvases is a lot. I've already like invested 42 hours, I think, in my latest one, and I'm not even halfway done. But I'm proud of the effort, and I've done everything that I possibly can to reach this goal. And I've just been just really proud of myself. And I'm excited about what the future holds. I'm excited about these trips that I'm going to take with my wife, my brother. I'm excited about just taking some time off. I'm excited about finishing this painting. I'm excited about starting another painting. I'm excited about hearing back from these two art residency programs. I'm excited about taking some time away from this microphone and just using those extra hours with my family. And I'm excited about, you know, where my art takes me next. I'm excited about the next turn. You know, and looking at the stats for this podcast, it's always interesting to me to figure out where, you know, you're listening from. And what I've found to be incredibly interesting is that most people that listen to this podcast in the United States are the furthest away from me. You know, most listeners are in California. As far away from Frederick, Maryland as you can almost get. But the vast majority of listeners aren't even in the United States at all. They're in Australia, New Zealand, and, you know, points that are literally on the other side of the world. And so I can't tell you how much that means to me when I have listeners in general, but also listeners from those parts of the world, because it gives me hope and it brings me excitement. And it stimulates my imagination And it makes me wonder what's possible. And it makes me wonder what's next. And that really helps me stay afloat. And it really helps me understand that, you know, sometimes you just have to dream big. And sometimes the next opportunities aren't anywhere close by. The next step is the furthest away. And I think that whether it's this art career or whether it's what's happening in the world, I think that we always have to remain optimistic. That we can't get too caught up in the day-to-day struggles or what's happening in the current moment. We always have to understand that there are better days ahead. And sometimes we stumble upon those better days, but sometimes we really have to work together to create them. And so that's what I plan on doing in these next few months, is doing everything that I can to create a better future for myself and hopefully create a better future for you as well.
Thanks for listening to the Painting the Midnight Oil podcast. Come back soon.